Well, I didn't expect so many people. It's very nice. It's a big center.
I go for refuge and I'm enlightened in Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving in other perfections, may I become a Buddha and get all the Sangye Chodan. May all sentient beings have happiness in the course of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the course of suffering. May all sentient beings be insensible from happiness and free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in one with you, free from attachment to friends and family and enemies. Reverently, I prostrate my bodies to the Lord. Let love to the of offering and to let all my negative actions be like this succeeding this time. Rejoice in the merit of all holy and honorable. Please remain until the end of Sakya's existence, and that will be your Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits to all others to create enlightenment. Crown anointed with blood moons and flowers, crowned with mountains and four mountains, sun and moon, imagine the sun and moon. May all living beings arise, your Lord. Be your Dharma.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. So nice to see so many wonderful people, such beautiful energy. And I'm really sorry again for coming late. So I'm very happy to. This is my first time in like an Indian center. For me, I see myself like maybe 20%, 30% Indian. Maybe not Paka, but a little bit Kacha, you know. But because I grew up in India, so, you know, it's like, it's also my country, you know? Hindustan, you know, I love Hindustan. So I'm so happy to be here with all of you. Thank you so much. So, today we're going to talk about a little bit my understanding of what I understood from some things. It's like a mixture of maybe my own experiences, what I studied back in the monastery, and what I've been studying now. I just arrived from the monastery after 15 days of just being there and going every day to class with my teacher. So he taught me some Lam Rim, like that. It's very simple stuff. And so I just wanted to share with all of you some of this. Maybe it can help you, because most of you, I believe, you live in Bangalore. No? You're working in Bangalore. So Bangalore is a city. It's a big city. As I saw today. So it can be very difficult sometimes to cope with everyday life. Especially when you have like a schedule and you don't have so much free time. And then there's the pollution and all the people and the stress. All these factors can be very difficult sometimes for our own kind of clarity, you know. So it's a hard job, not only to do your exterior job every day to earn your money, to live, but also the interior job is more difficult, because normally, for example, when you're maybe outside in the countryside, where there's not so much traffic, so many people, so much like all this activity, then also, because the outside is like a little bit of like a reflection also from our inside, it reflects, so it's more easy to be more stable, more like peaceful inside when you're in the countryside. So by being in the city, it's like almost like a test, you know, you have to endure. It's like a practice, it's double practice. So like when people go to retreat in the mountain, it's much more easy than if you try to do like retreat here or to do like meditation. So I think it's very, very good for you to be able to have the possibility to come to a center and to learn how to meditate and to see the reality of our mind, you know, the nature of our mind, and to understand how this works. Because sometimes it can be very difficult to cope with this kind of lifestyle if you don't understand a little bit how the mind works. I'm sorry, there's a pillar here, so I cannot see everybody. So, sometimes our mind can be our best friend, and at the same time, sometimes can be our worst enemy. It can play tricks on us, it can make us believe things that are not true. Sometimes, for example, when we get angry, we think we're right. Because we're entrapped in our body, so we're living every day in this body. You know, we are alone. The only way to communicate with other people is through like words, through facial expression, like maybe music or things like that. You know, there's a way where we can express what we are, what we feel, through this communication. But without this, we are alone. You know, so sometimes it's just us who think. You know? So when we get angry, then we think we're right. Because that's the way we are, you know, we are by ourselves, so we think something. It's like the ego, the me. We're born by ourselves, you know, so we've been all our life by ourselves. So maybe we think we're right, like there's some reason something happens. Like if you're stressed, then if someone talks to you something, maybe they're not talking in a way that should make you angry, but because you're stressed and you have that state of mind, then immediately you jump, you get angry. And also you think you're right, even if you're not right. So maybe from the other side, the person, he's seeing you, oh wow, this person is, that's strange, why did he get angry? I didn't say anything, you know? Maybe that person doesn't understand. But we think we are right. Until afterwards, maybe when the anger subsides and we realize, oh, maybe it was a mistake. But if we have big ego, we'll never see this. We'll never realize that maybe we're wrong. So I think that's one thing that's very important, is to keep that in mind, especially when we're in a stressful kind of ambiance, to be aware of how our mind plays these tricks on us. And many times it's like a test. The more stressed we are, the bigger the test. So if we are able to pass the test, then it every time becomes easier, you know, to keep a coherent, straight, you know, stable state of mind. This is very important, you know, because otherwise, then slowly, slowly we get used to and we just get sucked into samsara, and then we suffer, and we suffer more and more and more, because we're always thinking about me, because we are alone with ourselves. So it's normal, right? So it's normal we think about ourselves, because that's all we have. We are born to this world, the only thing we really have is our body. I mean, all the material possessions people may acquire throughout the time, it's not really ours. You know, it's part of like the planet, and it's man-made. It has its own functions, and some things are useful, some things are necessary, and some things are just extra. You know, we think it makes us happy, but in the end, we want other things. So the only real thing that is really ours is our body. That is the only thing we have. Even our clothes is not ours. So from the moment we're born into our reality. So what is our reality? I think maybe each person has their own concept of the reality, and that's completely normal. Because each of us, we live our reality. Nobody can live the other person's reality. Maybe I can see this color red, and it's the same name, but maybe you're seeing it yellow, but you call it red. Who knows? We cannot know, can we? So this is like philosophy sometimes. But the thing is that our reality is ours, and we share a reality, right? But it's not our reality. It's their reality. It's like the universe, right? We cannot say the universe is infinite, like infinite time, because then becomes very debatable. Like if it's infinite, then there's infinite possibilities. If there's infinite possibilities, we may all be Buddha, right? So the time of the universe is immeasurable. It cannot be measured. But I don't want to use the name infinite, because otherwise it can create like some difficulty to understand. So our reality is inside this immeasurable reality of the universe. And this reality has been there for so long. It changes. Like scientists, they call it the Big Bang. Right? The universe started with Big Bang, expansion, and then contraction again. And right now we're in the expansion. And if you think about it also, even us, every maybe 2-3 seconds it's happening. Our heart is going boom, 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 boom. All our life, since we are born till the day we die. It's expansion and contraction. Expansion and contraction. It's a little bit like the universe, but in a much smaller scale. And each of us, we have that. So this is our reality, the same way the universe has their own reality. And each of us, we're living our reality. And the way we see it will never be the same as other people see it, but we are sharing a reality. Is this becoming very complicated, or is it easy to understand? Yeah? Okay, so for example, I like to use examples very much. Like, you've been to the sea, yeah? You know, the sea, some people... like some Tibetans, they never saw the sea before. So when you talk about the ocean, they're like, wow, really, big lake? Bigger than a lake? How big? Oh, you cannot see the end. Oh, really? I cannot believe it's impossible. I'm just joking. So imagine the ocean, yeah, the seaside. So this is sunset, sun is coming down, and the sun, you can see the reflection of the sun. It's like yellow, golden light on the water. And it's like a straight line from the sun to where you are. And you're only seeing from the sun to where you are, it's like a path, yeah, it's like a golden path. That's all you see when you're sitting here. So I'm seeing my path from the sun to here, this reflection. And if somebody else is over there, they'll see their own reflection. But where I'm seeing the reflection is just normal water. So they cannot see the reflection I'm seeing. In order to see it, they have to come where I'm sitting. So it's a little bit like that. I can just see water, but they are seeing in the exact same place a reflection. And for example, if you go in a plane, high enough, sometimes you can see the whole ocean reflection, gold color. Have you seen that before from a plane? Just shining, everything. So that's the reality. The whole ocean is shining with the sunlight. But sometimes when we are down, we can only see one small path. And we cannot see the shining, but it's there. And to see it, you have to go maybe on a plane. So that's, I think it's a very good example to understand a little bit how reality works. So each of us, we have our reality, and we're stuck in our reality. So what we see is also what we project. There has to be something there originally, already. So we give it like a name or a function, something, for example, the table. The table has a function there. You can put the book on it. But, for example, if the table has to have that function in order for me to give the name table, which represents that function. Like for example, sometimes maybe there's a pipe or a rope, and maybe it's dark, and then I can mistake the rope for a snake. So I get really scared, there's a snake, a cobra. But actually it's just a rope. You know? So actually, what I'm seeing in my mind is a snake, but that snake doesn't really exist. So it doesn't really have the function of the snake. It's just a rope. So that's a different kind of reality. Because what I'm projecting, it's not really there in the sense that its function is not the same as I'm giving it to it. So you shouldn't think that things are not, like for example, it's not like the rope and the snake. It's actually there's something there and has a function. The only difference is, what the thing is there. For example, like we talk about science, the fact that we can see colors is because it's a reflection of the light, right? For example, the sunlight is white color, but you can divide the color of the sun into the rainbow. So the sunlight, the white color, the normal color is composed by like many different colors. So when I see this pen blue, it's because all the colors are being absorbed, and the only color that's being reflected is blue. So that's why I'm seeing it blue. Right? That's what I learned in science. So, for example, in black, it's absorbing all the colors, and white is reflecting all the colors. So if you think about it, if there's no light, then nothing has color. There is no color. So it's like light is information. The light gives us the information for us in order for us to see our reality. So maybe the actual reality of the things is no color. They have no color. But it's us who give the color. In the same way we give our reality, the existence to things, the way we see it. But it's never the way it really is. That's why they call it duality. And if you think about it, the universe is like a duality, you know. It's even starting from the Big Bang, it's expansion, contraction. It's two. And the heart also. Even female, male. Day and night. Good and evil. This is so many dual things. And then, of course, what you're perceiving and the perceptor. Right? So it's like that. And that's why it's... Sometimes it's very difficult to understand what's really happening. We get confused. You know, because maybe also like the system, they make us believe that, you know, this is our reality. You know, we have to live this way. You know, we have to change clothes every day, we have to, you know, go to the supermarket and buy food and eat, and we have to consume, like, to be happy. We have to have TV, we have to have a nice house, we have to have a car, we have to have a job, you know, the perfect partner, and the kids, and all of this. It's something also, in part, it's made by the system, in order for us to be in this kind of reality. But there's also people who just decide to go into the forest and live. They may live naked and they meditate or whatever, or maybe they just pick fruits, I don't know. You know, but that's how we used to be, human beings. We used to come like that. Homo sapiens, originally, we used to be like that. We used to live in caves and build fires and just, there's nothing else but like hunting and reproducing. Now every time becomes more complicated, more complicated, more complicated. And so we get sucked into this reality which we think is very important. But in the end, is it really important? Like the day we die, every day we're learning something new. And even the day we die, we're still learning something. So the learning never finishes. But when the day we die, then what did we accomplish? So if we really believe in the system, and we keep doing this all our life. Of course, for example, if you have children, it's a different story, right? And of course, you have to survive. And especially like in India, there's so many people. It's how can you eat otherwise? It's crazy. So this is our reality. This is the 21st century. So what we can do is to meditate in order to kind of see how this is happening, how it works. So, for example, I think the easiest way for me to explain this for you, so that you can put it in practice, is to use it in your everyday life. Because this is the way you live, this is what you chose, and also it's a little bit like destiny, what destiny chose for you. And when I say destiny, I'm also talking about karma. Karma is what we create in past lives also. We may not remember, but the fact that we live a certain life compared to other people, it's because of something. We created a cause in order to have that situation. And I think that's very logical. Personally, me, I didn't believe in karma at a certain period in my life. And I didn't believe in Buddhas, and I didn't believe in many things. I used to call myself agnostic, scientific, you know. Now I like to call myself in the process of becoming Buddhist. So I'm starting to believe in these things because it makes a lot of sense and it helps me to understand my reality and to cope with my own problems and my stress and my depression. Sometimes everybody has this, you know, you have ups and downs. Yeah, there are ups and downs all the time. It's normal. We learn from our mistakes, we suffer, and then we enjoy, and then maybe suffer again. But this is all comes from the way we see it, you know? For example, like, if I, let's say, like, break a leg, for example. I mean, that's pretty bad, yeah. Breaking a leg, it's like, maybe you have to stay 1 month with crutches, and if you're working, that's even worse. Or, I mean, there can be so many situations. So, depending on how I see the situation, it can be much worse or much better, you know? It's the way I see it. I can say, okay, wow, I broke a leg, maybe I don't have to go to work now. So I have time. Maybe. Or maybe I can think, oh, wow, I broke a leg, now I can't move, I'm stuck in my bed, I'm depressed. It's just the way you see it. In this way, this life is all the time. Brings us opportunities, he called it opportunities, in order for us to evolve in a better way. So if you think about it, what is the purpose of our life? This is, for me, it was a big question. And I think maybe it still is a big question. Why are we here? What are we doing? Where are we going? So Buddhism, basically what it explains to us, it says, we are here in order to benefit other people. This is, for me, it's like the essence of Buddhism. And how do we benefit other people? Of course, there's normal, superficial ways to help people. It's like, in just everyday life, the situations come where we have that opportunity to give a hand, lending hand, or even a smile, or even just saying hello, is enough to help that person. Especially like in a city. For example, New York. I've never been there, but I've heard stories like, you're insignificant. You walk in the street, you don't exist. You know, someone bumps into you, they continue. Even sometimes like Milano or Paris, if you're in an elevator with somebody and you say, hello, they look at you like, wow, you're weird. You're so rude, you talk to me. I don't know you, why are you talking to me? Sometimes it happens. This is the type of mentality some people live in. That's a reality. And if you say hello, it's like, huh, do I know you? This person is so rude. He said hello. It can happen. It happened to me many times. So, I'm like, oh, sorry. What? Sorry. No, I'm just joking. But it happens, of course. And much worse. Sometimes people find it much easier to have a fight with a stranger. Because they're strangers, so it's like, instead of, you know, saying hello and saying, oh wow, where do you come from and where would, you know, what's up? Instead of saying like that, they sometimes, you know, they look for a fight. It's easier to fight with someone who's a stranger. It's like the excuse. I don't know you, so, you know, I'm going to give you all my negativity, you know. It happens all the time. And it's a sad situation, you know, but it happens. So we have the opportunity to change that. We have the opportunity to instead to turn that around. I thought many times, you know, like, why is it sometimes so bad in this world? Like, for example, when you turn on the news, it's always sometimes negative stuff. Like, for example, if there's a mother and she took care of her children, she raised 8 children by herself, you know? No husband, just the mother by herself. Working maybe 2-3 jobs, taking care of her children, got them to college, everything. Does she get in the news? No. Will you see that woman in the news? No. Her name will never appear in the news. You'll never see in the newspaper, oh, this woman raised 8 children by herself. Never. But if a mother, for example, she kills her son, of course, headlines. Mother kills her son. Why? Why do they give so much importance to this negativity, but then there's so much positiveness, it don't give that much importance. It doesn't even come in the news. It's like, oh, it's normal. You know, this happens every day. Okay. But it's nice, you know. It's good to switch that around. I think one of the the main causes of so much negativity in this planet is because people overvalue negativity much more than positiveness. They give more importance to negative things than to give positive things. It happens all the time, even in families. You know, like maybe your mother or your father or your brother, you know, they, you have good relationship every day, like good things happen. You don't really give that much importance. Oh, you like your mother, well, she raised me for so many years. She took care of me. And then maybe one day your mother slaps you. You know, like you remember this so strong. Oh my God, and maybe all day you're like, oh, frowning. Oh my God, she slapped me. Why did she slap me? I didn't do anything wrong. Maybe she was stressed, who knows? You know, but we give so much importance to that and then we don't think about all the good things happening. That's, I think, also one of the reasons why there's so much negativity. It's because of our mentality. It's the way we think. For example, Bangalore or Bangaluru. Bangaluru. If you see most of the, like, the roads, the cars, the buildings, the situations, everything. When, how did it start? Started with a thought. Everything had to start with a thought. Even this table started with a thought. The person who built this table, the carpenter, he had to start with a thought. Okay, where should I make the holes? How the line? Even the person who ordered, maybe he said, oh, I want a type table like this. The designer, this house, the architect. Everything has to start with a thought. Everything that's man-made starts with a thought. Otherwise it cannot be made. So, and you can see the result of those thoughts. Here. This is how powerful the thoughts are. So that's why it's very important to check your thoughts and observe your everything inside. Because, you know, like, for example, you are the only person who really knows. Even sometimes, like, I think I don't even know myself, you know, but I'm the only person that knows myself this well. But sometimes I surprise myself. I do things that I don't even know myself. Sometimes I get angry and I shout, and then after I'm like, wow, that's so strange. Why did I do that? You know? And then I have to check, observe, and investigate from where did it come. And then maybe I realize, maybe in 2-3 days something happened, and then, you know, I kept it inside, and then, you know, I didn't work on it, and then like something happened, and this catalyst happened, and then I explode. It happens. So it's good to observe and to check, but many times, because we are the only person that really knows ourselves this well, it's our job to really keep this, you know, this kind of way of thinking, to check all the time, to observe our thoughts. From our thoughts, so much happens, even if we don't see it. The energy we give many times starts with a thought. For example, we can have a thought. Someone may shout at us. Then we have a thought. Oh, this person, he shouted at us. And our ego gets hurt, and then we get angry inside, but maybe we don't say anything. But this thought stays there. So from that thought, we plant the seed, and then maybe a state of mind, sorry, an attitude, maybe, attitude comes. The attitude of like, okay, I'm not smiling. Today I don't want to smile. Even somebody smiles and we just look very serious. We act like we didn't see the smile. I'm just joking. So then from that attitude, the state of mind appears. You know, like, and then this is the state of mind we'll keep for the rest of the day, maybe. And then the emotion, you know, and then the energy, and then even that will expand and will affect the people surrounding us. So that's why it's very important to see why and how. And most of the times, it's because of our ego. Because we think about me. I'm so important. Which, of course, we are. We are the center of our universe. Yeah? But not the way we think it is. Because if you investigate, in the end, you cannot find this ego. This ego kind of, me kind of thinking, it's imposed from the outside. Even the moment we are born, and we start to speak our first words, Papa, Mama. What does this mean? It means my Papa, my Mama. So even the first words we learn, already they're teaching us to think this way. Of me, mine. You know? So that's why it's important to see this kind of, what do you call it? habit and to change this. That's what Buddhism teaches us, to change the habit in order to have a more easygoing kind of way of life, state of mind, in which we can help other people. But how can we help other people if we don't help us first? How can we love if we don't love ourselves first? If we don't like ourselves, how can we like someone else? Examples are so good, you know. For example, like when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I used to have many zits, you know, like these green things that come out in your face. What do you call that? Zits? Pimples. Yeah. When you're in the age of puberty, you have many pimples. So I used to always look myself in the mirror. Oh, new pimple. Oh no. I have a new pimple. I'm so ugly now. You know, then I used to think like that because this is the way I think, you know, because I'm thinking of me. So maybe somebody takes a picture of me, you know, group picture, whatever. And then when there's a group picture, the first person I look, myself. I don't look at anybody else, I only look at myself. Oh, am I handsome in that, am I good looking in that picture? And I've always, oh, I'm so ugly. Almost always. I look so ugly. Why? Because that picture is based on the present. Maybe the picture was taken yesterday or today. Then I'm identifying myself with my present moment. And because I'm thinking me, I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied with who I am or what I look like, then automatically I project, I'm not handsome or I'm not good looking. So then I get like unhappy. But the same picture, 4 or 5 years later, I look at the same picture. Wow, I'm so young, I'm so good looking. I wish I was like that now. But the picture is exactly the same. So what changed? The way I see myself changed. So this is also a good example to see how we create our reality, we project what we want to see in this way. But actually it's not the reality, because this changes all the time. It's changing. Also, of course, the reality outside is changing, because that's the way impermanence works. Yeah? If, like, for example, quantum physics talks about this, they say everything is created, is composed by atoms, and then, like, the smallest particle is what they call the quark or something like that. So small, it's tiny, tiny. And all of these are always vibrating. They're vibrating and then they're moving all the time. But between that, it's all space. So it's all vibrating. And because it's vibrating, it's changing. It's energy. And everything is composed by the same things. Same composition. All the material is composed by atoms, which are vibrating. So this is energy. It's vibrating energy. So this is how, you know, the material world exists in this way. We cannot see it. We only know it in the scientific point of view, or, you know, like a theory. It's like a theory. But for us to see that, it's almost impossible. But it's like that. If you check, it's true. Because, for example, when the Buddhists, they talk about emptiness, it's together, same thing. Quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and like the philosophy is emptiness, same thing. They talk about the same thing. So now slowly, we're realizing that actually science and spirituality are coming together. They're becoming the same thing. But from different paths, in different ways. It's amazing, you know, it's really amazing. And like, for example, quantum mechanics says everything is consciousness. And for example, emptiness, when the Buddhists say it's all created by the mind. It's like we give the existence by... I don't know many words, you know, but it's like... Sorry?
Imputed.
Exactly, imputed. Consciousness imputes. So anyways, I'm getting very technical, and I don't want to go there because then I'll get lost. Because I'm learning. So, but this is my understanding of the emptiness and the quantum mechanics. Slowly, I think we're all learning. Even the day we die, we're still learning. So it's a process that will never finish. But I think it's important to check this. And maybe sometimes when you have some space, like when it's time to go to sleep, you know, then think about this a little bit, and then stop thinking and just breathe. It's a good meditation, you know, because sometimes many people, when they try to go to sleep, they can't sleep, and you can't fall asleep for some reason. And if you think about it, the reason why you can't sleep is because you can't stop thinking. So as long as you're thinking, you can't fall asleep. Because in order to fall asleep, you have to stop thinking. That's the way you fall asleep. So many times, you're like, you're turning around in the bed, and you're, oh, I can't sleep. And then actually, finally, you get so tired, then automatically the mind goes off, and you fall asleep. But it's automatic. So what's good is to like manually turn off the mind. It's very difficult. It's not easy. I mean, it's very difficult. Because all our life we're just thinking, thinking, thinking. That's the way we're raised. That's the way the system wants us to be. In order, because the strongest voice is the voice, the inside voice, subconscious mind. The inner voice, maybe better. Inner voice is the strongest voice. And we almost never listen to that voice. We're always thinking. But the thinking, we actually sometimes even identify with our thoughts. But our thoughts are a result of like how we do every day, you know, how we're raised and how we are and everything. But the thoughts is just it's like a tool. It's like a screwdriver. It's something that we use in order to live our everyday life. But it's not us. We are not our thoughts. Thoughts is a result of who we are. It's something else. It's like my hand or my eyesight. You know, it's just part of me, but it isn't me. So it's very important to see that. And the inner voice is actually who we are, where we come from. When the Buddhists talk about reincarnation, they're talking about that. That's what actually travels from one vehicle to another. Our body is a vehicle. Yeah. So when we pass away, this inner being or inner self or consciousness, or I don't know, there are many names. I don't want to give too many names, otherwise it can be confusing. But when you check, when you search, it's always the same thing. It can have many names. So this is the inner voice. And in order to hear and to listen to this inner voice, you have to turn off the mind. So that's why it's very important to start to practice this. This is for me, it's like the basic meditation. Before you go to sleep, start breathing, because there's different types of breathing. There's, you know, like, there's a nose breathing, but then there's another type of breathing that comes from here. So, you know, when people do yoga, the same type of breathing for yoga. Not there. Not this one there. It's very deep. And even if you just try that 3-4 times already, the state of mind becomes very relaxed. You can even get a little bit dizzy from so much oxygen coming to your brain. So sometimes if you're a cigarette smoker, instead of smoking, you can try to breathe. Sometimes it has the same effect. Yeah, so when you go to sleep, try to do that. Try to start breathing this way. Then you start to become conscious of your body from the top to the bottom. Everything. The whole, you go through everything. And then you try to turn off the mind. It can be very difficult. At the beginning, maybe you can do it 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds. Then when you get 10 seconds, then you have achieved something. It may take some a while, but it is possible. So when you get to 10 seconds, then you've already started. That's meditation already. So in those 10 seconds, you will hear the inner voice. You'll see who you are, where you come from, what you are. That's our reality. That's the true self. And then you can fall asleep more easy. You know, it doesn't take half an hour, 1 hour turning around. You can fall asleep maybe in 10 minutes. It's like very automatic, because usually in order to fall asleep we cannot think. We have to turn off the mind, then slowly we start going into like different rooms. You know, we go into one room, and then the next room is a little bit deeper and then deeper. And then finally there's one room where we don't remember anything. Suddenly we are asleep. And in this room, it's very difficult to be conscious in this room. But once we pass this room, we're asleep. We're already in the dream world. We're dreaming. Sometimes we're very tired. It's just like black. But that's normally, it's like we have to go back. To get back our energy, it's very important to sleep. Like, for example, the scientists, they say it's good to sleep minimum of like between 6 to 8 hours. And when we sleep, to sleep in complete darkness. Because there's behind our eyes is a sensor. And sometimes if the light, then the sensor does not release a substance called melatonin. Yes, thank you. Melatonin. So it's good to sleep in complete darkness. And then this melatonin, basically what it does, it regenerates our body during the night. So around maybe 1 billion cells are regenerated in one night. So it's so important to have good rest, good sleep, complete darkness. And then this way we regenerate ourselves and we are fresh in the morning. And the other thing is also we go back to ourself, our inner fountain of life or fountain of energy or what you can call it, many things, even maybe clear light. I don't know. I've never seen it, but you know, I try every day. Sometimes when I'm not lazy. Sometimes I just watch a movie and then fall asleep. Put some music, fall asleep, or just think, fall asleep. Sometimes when I remember, I try to do this kind of meditation. And when I do, it helps a lot. It really does. So if you reach 1 minute without thinking, then that's a realization. That's one type of realization in Buddhism. So that's very good. It's very simple. And you can do it every day before you go to sleep. And the more you do it, the easier it is to go to sleep. Because many times, like, our mind is very active during the day in the city, up, down, you know, working, stress, blah, 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 blah. And then when you go to sleep, you're still, like, very active. And sometimes it's so difficult to fall asleep. And then you get stressed because maybe you have to get early in the morning, you have to get up. And then you get stressed, oh, I can't fall asleep. And the more stress, and then it's like, it's terrible. So this is a good method. And I think also one thing I wanted to talk about is how to meditate during our daytime, everyday life. That's also very helpful, especially if we're living in a city. So, for example, one type of meditation is to always think about other people before we think of ourselves, like in the workplace. Try to see other people, even say hello, try to be as nice as possible. Even if you're really stressed or unhappy or depressed, try to really give the importance to other people. Because when we give importance to us, it just makes more. If we're depressed and we get more depressed, we become more unhappy. If we're sick, we become more and more sick. You know, sometimes we become sick because of the way we think. If we think positive, then sometimes we don't get sick. Sickness sometimes is mind-generated. There's one old man, I think, I don't know, in Holland or something, he's like 120 or something. And he's super healthy, he still goes to jog and everything, you know. And they did an interview to him and said, what's your secret? He said, my secret? I have no secret. I just get up in the morning and I say, wow, thank you for having this life. I'm so happy, you know, this is awesome. This is great. And that's no secret. That's, you know, this is, you know, and that gives me this kind of energy, you know, being happy, being good, you know, and then it keeps becoming incrementing. So if you think like that for other people, then you forget about yourself. You forget about your problems, you forget about your sickness or your depression or your stress. And you think about, wow, oh, he's unhappy or he's having a hard time today. Today he has a long face. Maybe I'm going to tell a joke, I'm going to say hello, or even maybe I'm going to give him a hug. Even if it may be weird, but can look weird, but it doesn't matter, you know, at least, you know, they will feel something. Eventually, you know, they'll open up also and they'll say, wow, thank you, that was amazing, you know, you changed my day. You know, today I had a great day, why? Because you gave me a hug. You know, there's a story I saw on Facebook the other day about this guy who works in a thing like meat factory or something. And he got locked up inside this big fridge. Accidentally, he got locked up inside and he couldn't come out. So he was freezing. And it was nighttime, everybody had gone home. So he said, okay, now this is it, I'm going to die. And then, when he was almost dead, then somebody opened the door. turns out it's the guard, you know, the security guard. He found him. So afterwards, like, he called the police, everything, and then when he was better, he said, "Wow, how come you found me? How, it's like, it's impossible. Like, this factory is like thousands of workers. How did you find me? How did you even, you know I wasn't there?" He said, and the security worker said, "I've been working here for 20 or 30 years, and you're the only person who says hello in the morning, and who says goodbye, good night in the afternoon. So I got your hello, good morning, but I didn't get your good night." So I said, "Ah, something's wrong." So I started to look for you. So that's a very good story, you know. I think that really inspired me. It can change your life, it can save your life even. Incredible, no? It's karma. So these details may look insignificant, but they can be very big. It's like the butterfly effect. I don't know if you've seen the movie. I think the movie is very exaggerated, you know, it's like Matrix, you know, Hollywood production, they exaggerate everything. But in part, it can be true, you know. The butterfly effect is like something you do here can have a big effect somewhere else. Big effect. Everything can change. So when we are positive, when we think about other people before we think ourselves in that way, this effect is like, it's like the butterfly effect. It keeps expanding. In the same way, we have negative thoughts, we have negative energy, then it keeps expanding in a very negative way. That's why it's so important to check our thoughts. You know? Very important. Every day. And the more we do that, the more the habit, and then the easier it is to be happy, to be, you know, in a very healthy state of mind. And how do you do that? By thinking other people all the time. Instead of thinking me, I'm unhappy, or me, I want to be happy. No. Oh, they're unhappy, I want to help them. You know? I want to make them happy. Automatically you will be happy. So this is our purpose. This is the purpose of our life. Or at least, this is what I understand. From Buddhism, this is what I understand, this is our purpose in our life. You know? The world, you can think about it like a school. School of learning. We're here to learn. And to help other people to learn also. So yeah, so I can talk and talk and talk and maybe it can get boring. Yeah. So I don't want to bore you, you already waited for a long time. So you must be very tired. Today is Saturday, no? So today is Chuti. Chuti, okay, yeah? But that's it. So I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe it's a good idea of questions and answers. Oh yeah, dinner time. Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, we'll just do maybe some questions, past questions if people have doubts like that. Okay, please.
Can you share a little bit of how do you feel when you were identified as the reincarnation
of Balaram? How do I feel about what?
How do you feel
yes.
when you were identified as the reincarnation of
Balaram? Well, I mean, this is, since I was very, very young, since I was 18 months old, I was recognized. So it's like part of my reality. For me, it's like normal. Like many times we see the sun rise and we see the wind blow and make the trees dance. I mean, we see the fire burning or we can hear music or, you know, just that for us is like normal. But it's magic actually, and it's like ceremonies, nature ceremony, every day it's happening. The birds are flying, you know, the wind is blowing and the sun is shining and after the stars or the moon, you know, all this is magic. But for us it becomes normal. Why? Because we see it every day. So for me, it's a little bit like that. It's like, since I was so young, it's been like that. So I try to think of myself just normal person, which is true, you know. The only difference between me and you is that I had an education in the monastery. I grew up as a monk. So I think that's the only thing maybe that differentiates us a little bit, is the way I was raised. But otherwise, I'm just a normal person. I'm probably much worse than all of you. So that's It's not something special for me. You know, it's just my life. You know, it's like this. Yes. Forgiveness. To understand forgiveness, you mean?
My nanny told me I don't know forgiveness. In my heart, I don't understand it.
Okay.
Go and learn forgiveness.
Okay. I think forgiveness is very, very easy. Very, very easy. Forgiveness is, for example, have you ever, I forgot, I don't have the word now. Gyobagye has done. Gyobagye. Somebody speak to better? Repent. Regret. Exactly. So, have you felt regret before? So, forgiveness is the same thing, but from the other side. When you regret because you feel you did something wrong. So, forgiveness is when you let the other person forget his regretfulness. Maybe this is a bit complicated like that. I put an example. Like, for example, I can say something very bad, harsh words to you. You say harsh words to me. Or vice versa, doesn't matter. And then you feel very bad about this because maybe, you know, afterwards I'm very serious or I can cry. Maybe I cry. So you feel bad. So if I forgive you, then you can feel better. Yeah? So this is a little bit the way forgiveness works, you know, is to help the other person to kind of clean this karma. And also for ourselves, sometimes we do actions and then we can regret these actions. Regret is helpful like up to one point, but after that it becomes just a burden, it becomes like a weight. So regret is good to learn from our mistakes, but after that we have to forgive ourselves and learn from that and move forward, you know. So forgiveness, there has to be a balance also, the same way as regret. But I think, from my point of view, this is the way I understand forgiveness. It's to forgive people's actions, because we're all learning, and we make mistakes, and we're human beings, you know. And many times this is the way we learn. We learn through mistakes. So it's good to forgive. That's, from my point of view, that's what forgiveness means. Is that helpful? Practically, yeah. Slowly. Just forgive. If you're angry with someone, forgive them. Start with that. Forgive everybody you're angry with. Forgive everybody who you think wronged you. You start there. By forgiving yourself also. Yes?
I wanted to say when I let go of my grudges, my resentment,
exactly. Okay, more questions?
So many people we want to help.
Yes.
And in some cases, like, we are not actually able to help. So if we want to help, there is pain for us. So, and in your practice, when you pray and then you kind of dedicate, somehow I feel like when you dedicate your merits, it's like accumulating a little bit of merit for yourself as well.
Yes.
So at the end, when you practice or do whatever the activities, it's like helping yourself.
Exactly.
So at the end, it's like helping oneself.
Yes.
You're not actually helping others. Okay.
Of course, if you practice with the sole purpose to help yourself, then it's not that beneficial. It's useless. So you shouldn't think I'm helping myself. You should always think I want to help other people. And then this way, you help yourself automatically. It's like in the package, part of the package. But it's not the reason why we're doing this. And just by the thought of wanting to help, even if you don't help, that's more than enough. Already you've planted the seed, you've created the cause for that to reap, you know, to grow. And even if you don't see it clearly, it's already there, it's happening. So just by thinking, well, I want to help sentient beings, I feel bodhicitta, or like dedicate the merits for them, or visualize to take their suffering, already there. You're creating the cause of helping them. Even if it may look insignificant, it's very significant. Very, very, very significant. Every action is super significant. Every thought, super significant. Very significant. Yeah. It's difficult to believe, but that's the way it is, because, for example, we're all connected to the collective memory, so each of our thoughts becomes part of the collective memory. So what we think, what we feel, what we do affects everybody else. So when you dedicate the merits and when you think about other people, you're helping other people through the collective memory. You know, it's like the omnipresence, or, you know, it's difficult to explain, you know, but I think you can visualize, you know, this kind of super consciousness, which is all of us together. We're all interconnected. So one good positive thought helps everybody else. One more question?
No.
Last question? Okay.
On forgiveness, actually, I have a question. So is it like to make ourselves happy or to make the other person happy? It is forgiveness.
Forgiveness?
Yeah.
Forgiveness is to... of course, it's to make the other person happy, but by forgiving, it's more about how you feel towards them. You know, it's like... For example, if someone stole something from you, right? Then if you're like, oh, he stole something from me, oh, this guy is terrible, you know, he took something from me, then you're not forgiving, you're creating bad karma for them, and you're suffering yourself. But that person has already stolen the thing, so it's gone, it's just materialistic, it's nothing. So then if you visualize, okay, I give this, I offer this thing to that person, so this way you're forgiving their action. And in this way also the karma becomes less. You know? And you're not suffering so much yourself. That's like a little bit an example of forgiving. Forgiving also is, you know, forgiving people when they maybe talk harshly to you, you don't take it badly. Because if you take it badly, it's because of your ego. Oh, he talked badly to me, he said harsh words to me. Or he didn't smile because when I smiled, he didn't smile back. Doesn't matter. You give positive, it doesn't matter what you receive, as long as you give positive. You know? That's forgiving also. Eventually you will come back, but that's not the important part. The important part is to help other people, to be happy. Of course, it's very difficult to make people happy because the only person who can make themselves happy is themselves. You know? The only person is yourself. It's your job to find that. It's like the teacher, you know? The teacher can help you show you the path, but you have to walk the path. You know? You cannot, you know, say, okay, help me to be happy. No, you have to do it yourself. You know, the same way if you want to study, you want to get a degree, you know, you can't say, okay, can you study for me? You have to study yourself, you know, it's like that. So forgiving is you forgive, but ultimately it's up to them to change the way they act. But the most important thing is to check yourself and not to check other people, because that's their story, that's their business. You know? The more you look outside, the further away you're from yourself. So then the harder it becomes to find yourself and to understand your nature. See, that's one of the problems. People always search outside, keep searching outside. And the more you search outside, the further away you're from you. And then the more problems, the more hardship, the more difficult. So don't search outside, search inside, look, check inside. And as long as you have a good attitude, this will come back. You know, and you will create the cause for this positiveness to expand. You know, already there's so much negativeness. Why do we want more negativeness? It's not necessary. You know? So this way forgiveness helps a lot. Forgive yourself, forgive other people.
Okay.
No,
I didn't like if you cut a cake for your birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's dedicate first. So, all the positive thoughts we've had today, let's dedicate it. And hope in the future we can be better people. Slowly, slowly. And thank you so much for inviting me here. I'm so happy to see all of you and to meet all of you, to make the connection. And next year maybe we'll meet each other again.
Please so, visit us at the center many, many times.
Definitely, many, many, many times. For sure. Thank you so much. Thank you.